Now for the hard way. Okay. After a half hour of the other news, this is the other news. We swing to World Watches. This is broadcast number 617, October 3rd, 1983. We begin the program with what was happening just a year ago tonight to see how things roll along. Nancy Reagan had declared war on dope dealers. That was such a farce. I told her to go to the Bobby Hall tapes that are with the Los Angeles Police Department, with Paul Laxalt, who's running her husband's campaign, to Frank Sinatra, who sings at the White House with the Reagans, to George Bush, working with Task Force 157, the biggest heroin cocaine dealers of all between the admirals and generals. Give immunity to Theodore Shackley and Edwin Wilson. Let them tell you about it. Or Michael Sindona, who's still in prison for a long time in New York. Talk about Stibem, the Milan office of Banco Ambrosiano and the Vatican and the narcotics. Release Sindona and let him talk and tell the cocaine traffic. We could add to that this year. Let Klaus Barbie tell about it. Last year I was talking about why the story of Fritz Kramer, Hitler's Kramer, and Fritz Kramer, Kissinger's Kramer, I'm not sure they're not the same person yet. Kramer versus Kramer was important. There were four stories about the Nazis that were very important last year at this time, and they go right into the subject of that I'm going into of Representative Larry McDonald and the Korean Air Flight 007 and Western goals. The first story last year, just this time, was the end of September 1929, secret report on how the Nazis aided the United States spies, how Alan Dulles took information from Admiral Wilhelm Canaris and used it, and the Nazis and the CIA were working. It was the OSS in those days, and then became the CIA. By 1947, the CIA was formed, and they were working with Hitler's top admirals. Second article was the story in the San Francisco Chronicle on the 30th of September. There was a fight on Capitol Hill because a particular reporter, newsman, tried to grab a report that was on the desk of the congressional hearing about how the Warren Commission, Alan Dulles, a member of the Warren Commission, was working with the Nazis at this time period, from the OSS to Hitler's SS, and there was a fight over this document. Another article just this time, it was October the 2nd, a year ago last night, United States is planning a nuclear war, and the Soviet Union is calling us cold-blooded composure of gravediggers, that Ronald Reagan's administration. 1 year later, Edward Teller and Admiral Moore were on the board of Western Goals, working with John Reese and Daniel Graham and Fritz Kramer, and they are, in fact, looking into and planning the nuclear war. The Soviet Union was right 1 year ago. Another article that a group of people were urging peace, a new peace effort, and they accused the United States of breaking peace with Russia. This was October the 10th, 1948. That this article came out, it was just 3 years after the war was over, and it was referenced the United States working with prisoners from the Battle of the Bulge and with Franco and setting a policy that would make ready for the next war. 1 year ago this week, this Larry McDonald, who works with Senator Joe McCarthy, that was his hero, and John Reese, who worked for Senator Joe McCarthy and Louise Reese. While McDonald went down, the whole Western Goals is still intact, and they do, in fact, continue with the Nazis that McCarthy released at the time that he went over the Malmedy trials. The prisoners in the Battle of the Bulge were released by Senator Joe McCarthy. A year ago tonight, I was talking about that document and newspaper article, and 1 year later, Western Goals, Larry McDonald, are linked to Senator Joe McCarthy directly through their secretaries, aides, investigators, and the people and the Nazis who released those men who shot Americans and people in Belgium and France for their own political power and purposes. That was just a year ago tonight. Then we talked about the murder of Grace Kelly, how she touched all the bases, and I went into the Vatican connection, the Nugenhan, and the Arctic Circle connections. And last week I read the Lehman document, how Secretary of the Navy John Lehman, who was cousin, he is the cousin of the late Grace Kelly, is planning a war in the Pacific Northwest, and the document includes provoking the Russians so that we can find out where the defense systems are. A year later, cousin John is working up there playing around with Flight 007. Grace was involved with Robert Vesco, Bernie Kornfield, on global natural resources. And a year later, a half a year later, the friend of Bernie Kornfield and Robert Vesco, Vicky Morgan, was murdered. A baseball hat split her head open. I had the Grace Kelly spider web, the Catholic connections into the Vatican, the Rockefeller connections. Our father got his first 7,000 construction to, he borrowed that and then parlayed it into 18 million from Rockefeller to build Rockefeller Center. There were connections to Igor Cassini, Oleg Cassini, and they had strong links to the Tsarist White Russians and the international network of spies, including Alan Dulles and Louis Neisser and so forth. I went into details on those connections, as I say, our Vatican connections. Also, not only was I mentioning Henry Kissinger at that time a year ago, but Henry Kissinger now is working in a position for the President of the United States, Ronald Reagan, deciding certain policies in Central America. I talked about Licio Gelli and Grace Kelly in the Monte Carlo Lodge. Licio Gelli walked out of his prison in Switzerland just less than a year later. And also I mentioned Roy Cohn in connection to Vicky Morgan and Grace Kelly. And Roy Cohn is on the board of Western Goals, worked for the late Larry McDonald. He's still on the board. So Cohn meddles into the Monte Carlo Lodge of Grace Kelly, and he's with the father of the Prince Rainier's father's attorney just weeks before Grace is killed. Roy Cohn is over there tangled in that, and then he's on Western Goals when Larry McDonald is killed. And Kissinger is working with Reagan now, and Vicky Morgan has been killed, and Grace has been killed. There are a lot of scandals going, and I briefly mentioned these. I can't detail them again. If you want those broadcasts, this was 565, October the 4th, 1982. There was a cartoon in a local newspaper here called Demeter, D-E-M-E-T-E-R, a woman's magazine here on the Monterey Peninsula. And they had a cartoon of a congressman, and he's standing before the microphone, and he's saying, "Members of the legislature, I apologize for saying women should be given a one-way ticket to space. I meant to say the Democrats." Now, reading the news today, that's hardly as funny as even that cartoonist dreamt if they only half knew what was really going on in the world. And I read a story in the newspaper, it was from Friday's newspaper, that made my blood boil. I have a pretty good tolerance for some of this news, but I feel like Padachevsky when he wrote Network. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I am really mad. The article is titled, "A New Lobby for Space Weapons," Friday, September 30th, 1983, San Francisco Chronicle. In essence, it says that Lieutenant General Daniel O. Graham, former chief of the Defense Intelligence Agency and leading advocate of high frontier strategy, which is the laser beams and the nuclear weapons and knocking out the Soviet weapons, having a space war, Graham, who's head of High Frontiers, now has formed a political action group called American Space Frontier Committee. This is what Wernher von Braun wanted, this is what Walter Dornberger wanted. They ran their camps at Dora with bones and bodies and slaves and mass murders, and they should have been hung at Nuremberg. This was what the British Tribunal said in London about Dornberger, and he came out to be head of Bell Aerospace. And von Braun. So now we have the man who works with Fritz Kramer, Lieutenant General Daniel O. Graham, who's partner in Washington, D.C., with the same Fritz Kramer I have warned about and said investigate. Is that Nazi Germany, Hitler's Fritz Kramer, the partner of Daniel Graham, who's going to offer $1 million to the man who runs for the election, who will go for his space weapons, his high-energy beam weapons, and his ground-based missiles to destroy warheads and an interception of missiles, and also for a first attack. And let me just say that one more time. Oh, he's having Robert K. Dornan, former representative from California, as the president. He has an American Space Frontiers Committee, and he's raising $1 million to buy a politician who will push his weapons system, and his partner is Fritz Kramer. Now, to review this little episode, during the height of Watergate, the scandal came out that Howard Hughes, who was non-existent at the time, It was a Nazi organization set up by the Fourth Reich, or Third Reich, offered $1 million for Richard Nixon to run for office. They also offered $1 million to Hubert Humphrey, because then he would let the not only the Vietnam War go, but they would own both politicians. And God knows who else they paid. We heard that $1 million from Michael Sindona went to Richard Nixon for the committee to reelect the president, coming out of the Vatican. And his mentor was Mr. Montini, who wrote the passports for Martin Bormann. And at the same time, 1 million passports from the Vatican for Nazi war criminals went to South America and elsewhere. Sindona tilts it because that now is 2 million for the Republic. And then at the time that Licio Gelli was arrested and the scandals came out of the Masonic Lodge, Gelli, who worked with Mussolini Brownshirts, who worked for Franco, who worked for Adolf Hitler, when Mussolini gave up the dual citizenship between Spain and Argentina, the great Masonic Lodge scandal gave money, I suppose approximately a million. They don't seem to be giving less and maybe more to Ronald Reagan's campaign, and he's back down in Argentina. But now is the final blow when Daniel Graham has a political action committee. This man from the high frontier and the space weapons and the partner, the very partner of Fritz Kramer, the guy I told you so long ago to watch. It's horrendous to think that this man is pulling this. Again, I've had on the broadcast other times. I should do it every week. The Institute on Strategic Trade, 499 South Capitol Street, Suite 404A, Washington, D.C., 20003, area code 202-484-5033. Whoever takes this tape, whoever listens to these broadcasts, you ask for Lieutenant General Daniel O. Graham, who's giving $1 million for the candidate who will push the space war, and you call Dr. F.G. Fritz Kramer, former plans officer for Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army, and you say, Fritz, who are you? You're a Habsburg. You're a Nazi. You came from Nazi Germany. Your son is the liaison now between the National Security Council and Ronald Reagan, Mr. Sven Kramer, S-V-E-N-D. Who is running America? This is what Hitler wanted. He wanted the space stations. You guys paid every politician. Fritz, are you prisoner number 33 in the docket at Dachau trial, or is Mae Brussel crazy and off the walls? And if she is, she'll apologize. And if she's not, you get the hell out of the United States government and get deported somewhere. Off. The Israelis don't want him. They're not smart enough. The Mossad works with these people. But this man is going to cause you to have a world war on your head. I've said it for years. I followed these rats. But can you see how mad I am that they're putting up $1 million for a candidate? That they're going to buy the candidate, not under the table, over the table now. It's for sale. You push my weapons. You push my partner, Fritz Kramer, and I'll give you $1 million. And for those of you that don't have the background on Fritz Kramer or the broadcast, I've done quite a few. Go to the library and copy or write to me and send a self-addressed stamped envelope with money to cover the printing. The March 2nd, 1975 article on the Iron Mentor on Henry Kissinger and Dr. Fritz Kramer. Somebody called me from the Catherine McDonald campaign down in Georgia, and they said, don't you think we need wiretapping against the leftists? Don't you think we're going to have terrorism? And he was defending Western goals. And I said, you far right-wingers think. You think that Henry Kissinger is left, that the Council of Foreign Relations is left? I said, you tell me about Iran. When Mossadegh was killed and the Shah came in, did Iran, with the help of Henry Kissinger and John McCloy and Alan Dulles, go left or Nazi or fascist? He said, well, it went right. Okay. I said, okay. The Pahlavi family were also pro-Nazi. Henry Kissinger put them in with the help of Fritz Kramer and the Pentagon. I went down to Chile. The Pinochet that Representative McDonald had as one of his heroes, that helped fund his campaigns. I said when Allende was killed and they were going to have a democracy or some kind of a labor group and raise the cost of the wages, when Pinochet had Allende killed and he took off his jacket, he had swastikas on the arms and coats. Were they left swastikas or Nazi? And he said Nazi. When the president of Korea shot the former president, this one used to be in the intelligence, and he shot him at a dinner table, and they had martial law and gunned down thousands of students, and they've had these repressions that are going on. Did it go communist or did it go fascist? And this went on for about 8 countries. The Somoza family and the CIA putting that in. The horrendous military coups with the repressions. Marcos, now the latest with Aquino. And does it go right or does it go left? And he says, all right, that's enough. I said, look, I have enough money for this phone call to give you 33 consecutive countries, and I'm sick of it. That's what I told him. I said, you tell Mrs. McDonald and all your people, I'm sick of it. And why am I sick of it? Because General Daniel Graham works with John Reese of Western Goals, with Edward Teller of the hydrogen bomb, of Admiral Moore, of the advocate of future atomic wars or whatever you want. John Reese is editor of Western Goals. There's a book out called Broken Seals on how the left is hurting the intelligence agencies. Broken Seals, and under the title, it's got the list of members of Western Goals. Editor John Reese, R-E-E-S. And the afterword of the book and the foreword mentioned Lieutenant General Daniel O. Graham, who worked with the late Larry McDonald, who works with John Reese, who works with Fritz Kramer, and that data bank they have that they've accumulated in Los Angeles isn't the only data bank, I can assure you, because Mary Love, the wife of J. Paul, the policeman who took them to the J. Paul took them to the garage with a $100,000 computer was, not a $2,000 or $3,000 Radio Shack computer. $100,000 computer in Los Angeles with illegal documents of police department files that should have been destroyed 10 years ago, going into Daniel Graham and John Reese and Fritz Kramer's pile of names for space stations that they want, like Alternative 3. And Mary Love said, according to an article in the newspaper, she doesn't have to reveal who else's material she puts into the $100,000 computer. She can put the doctor records, the hospital records, if you have gonorrhea or syphilis or AIDS, if you've had surgery, if you've had a mental breakdown, all of this goes into computers. They have a data bank of everything of your past. She doesn't have to tell you, just LAPD is one client, and they could fill that computer night and day. And John Reese from Western Goals, from Larry McDonald, works with Daniel Graham, and that Graham is the partner of Fritz Kramer. We don't have to have much more once we get this layout to know that this is real trouble and that Larry McDonald plane crash and the follow-up has to keep going on and on till we smoke them out. And for those of you who don't have the picture of Fritz Kramer in the docket, you send a self-addressed stamped envelope and I'll show you a picture of him, and I'll enclose the picture of Hissinger's Fritz Kramer, the partner of General Graham and John Reese of Western Goals, with Admiral Moore and Edward Teller, and a cast of who's who. Mr. Milliken is also on the board of Western Goals, Mr. Larry McDonald's foundation, and he also is the man, Mr. Milliken, who is on the board of J. Peter Grace's company, the W.R. Grace and Company, and they are the partners, if I don't have to remind you every week, of Otto Ambrose and the I.G. Farben and the people who made the gas for the extermination. Those are the people. So I am the connection of this man today or this week saying that he wants a political action committee to give $1 million to the candidate that pushes the space weapons. Holy mackerel. I may bring this up every week. I don't repeat, and I usually try not to, but this is just nauseating, and you will save me the time of not repeating it if you take copies of this tape. Whatever state you're in, these go to about 30 states or more and relatives, and send it to whoever your member of Congress is and say, now you tell us who Daniel Graham's partner is. We want the bio, both of Fritz Kramer, who is Graham and Reese's partner in Western Goals with Moore and Edward Teller, and we want the bio of Adolf Hitler's Kramer, because he's been erased from every book of the history book after the Battle of the Bulge. We want to know where he is today, and where he went, and if it's the same man, let's find out. Just send this tape off, will you please? It's for your sake, too. You know, this bomb isn't going to just fall on one house, mine. It's just as likely to fall on yours, and you better wake up. Now, there was an interesting story this week pertinent to the things I do in the San Jose Mercury, October the 1st. The dead chief of gold company was the director of a closed bank. Wouldn't you know it? Alan David Saxon, S-A-X-O-N, is under investigation for fraud. He committed suicide, allegedly, with carbon monoxide poisoning from his motorcycle into the indoor sauna. The police said there was a tape recording in the house and a revolver near the body, but they're not going to play the tape, and I'm sure they're going to cover the holes in his head before they put this thing from the motorcycle to the sauna. I mean, that's the least likely story of all. What did this man do that he died at this time? He's 35 years old. He was on the director of the California Commercial Bank from the fall of 82 to May 83. That's the Johnny Carson Bank that I talked about. And there were significant capital losses in this bank, and there's currently an ongoing investigation of this bank. So at the present time, they are looking into financial malfeasance, and they took Johnny Carson off the problem as a defense witness, but the case is still going. Johnny Carson and Henry Bushkin founded the bank in 1978. Now, Carson says he never met Saxon. Can you imagine investing money like 28% in a bank, having your own bank, and never meeting a board of director, a member of the board of director? I mean, how ridiculous can this go? Saxon was supposed to be appointed by Arnold Copelson, a former bank officer, but nobody has a bank and doesn't ask who's on the board, particularly when you're taking all your money off to the Cayman Islands and laundering money for organized crime like Jack Catane and Robert Durand and so forth. So this owner, this Saxon, he's the owner of a company called Bullion Reserve of North America. And the same day he died, the Bullion Reserve surrendered their financial data. Within 24 hours, they were ordered. The New York City attorney, General Robert Adams, started investigating it 2 weeks ago. They had a problem because of an international gold bullion exchange that collapsed in Fort Lauderdale. Now, Fort Lauderdale is where Mr. Robert Hetrick and the DeLorean airplanes went to get the cocaine that was leaving down from Fort Lauderdale. That was the base of these people. There also was an international gold bullion exchange at Fort Lauderdale. It was Florida-based gold, silver, and so forth. Then it closed in April of 1983. And there had been sent $20 million in cash advance to this company. Now, isn't $20 million the amount that John DeLorean is missing? Isn't that the scandal at $17.5 million, but plus the courier's fee is supposed to be in a Swiss bank? And all of a sudden, in April, $20 million is missing out of Fort Lauderdale, which is where these guys fly out of Hetrick down to Colombia and Bolivia, allegedly with Klaus Barbie. Yeah, that's the amount they're looking for. They're also looking into problems with Richard Osborne with gold trading in Beverly Hills and in Dallas. Doesn't that hit a lot of good bases? And also in Utah, in the state of Utah, they had sold $31 million out of Utah offices. So Utah is an area where John DeLorean has allegedly $7 million missing, which I've had on broadcast, was supposed to be a part payment to pacify DeLorean. Now, somebody with shenanigans down at Fort Lauderdale had gotten $20 million. Wouldn't that cover his debt if you put it quickly into the Swiss bank? And you said, oh, you had the wrong account number. Well, here's our $20 million. You know, John's got his $17 million, but $20 million is missing out of Fort Lauderdale. Well, this is an interesting combine because if you have the tapes that I have on that bank, that commercial bank, it's broadcast number 609, August the 8th, 1983. That was just a month and a half ago. And I have the story of Johnny Carson in the Commercial Bank of California and how the missing money, they were forced to close April 1983 because they were missing so much money. They said at least $42,000. What if they were missing the $20 million that was going to be going down to Fort Lauderdale to help save John DeLorean? Because this transfer of funds is what got them in trouble. The transfer of funds wasn't reported to the bank, and there were loans without disclosure, and they were sending it down. There were New York links to Jack Catane to the Angelo Bruno family, which I heard this last weekend. The brother has strong links in Georgia to Larry McDonald and that outfit. They were sending money out of the country down to the Cayman Islands, transfer of drug profits overseas. The formation on that broadcast I did of the DeLorean motor and these main characters, Johnny Carson, Henry Bushkin, Jack Catane, Robert Durand, and John DeLorean. I was talking about missing money, specifically a large amount of money, going out of the down to the islands and so forth. And now all of a sudden this fellow is 35, he's dead. It's pretty young age to be handling a lot of that gold, I should think, 39 years old. But speaking of Cayman Islands, and this may be coincidental, but I can't pass it up, when Mrs. McDonald, Catherine McDonald, heard that the plane had landed safely, and this is what the CIA and the State Department told her, she was in touch with the CIA and State Department all night while Ronald Reagan was sleeping for 8 hours, and we'll do more on the chronology of that. She said, and this was in the Houston Post, September the 2nd, early Thursday, she thought her husband had a chance of surviving a crash at sea. This is a quote, "He's also an excellent swimmer. We just got back from the Cayman Islands, and he spent most of his time swimming there." If she just left at the Cayman, but she had to have, "We spent our time swimming," I'll bet you they didn't. With all of this going on, I'll just bet you, with his name, Larry McDonald, linked since January to the files of the LAPD going to his Western Goals Foundation, he might have gone down there to pick up stuff to blackmail everybody, including the President of the United States, which I think he did. But I'll just bet you that they did more than swim in the Cayman Islands when they have such interlocking connections to all of these kinds of people. And just Larry McDonald, if he didn't have the connection of the island to Catane and Duran and Hetrick and DeLorean and Carson, if he didn't have that, he was in deep trouble as of January when J. Paul took the detectives and the Civil Liberties Union lawyers to his garage because, as I say, they knew in a moment that wasn't any fly-by-night computer. They knew that was a real, real computer. Now, this Mrs. McDonald, last week I mentioned the CIA, how the pilot had boasted that he had worked for the CIA on spy missions. And Mrs. McDonald was privy to a lot, September the 2nd. She was getting information, U.S. intelligence reports, about the plane, and she thought it landed safely. Those were the first reports that it landed safely. And then she was told it was over Soviet territory, and the CIA was in touch with her, which is pretty nice, the CIA. And then another article, the President of the United States was sleeping, and the first account they were hijacked, and then they strayed off. But what does Mrs. McDonald have with the CIA and the intelligence system that they're in touch with her when the plane has gone down? The president sleeps, but she's in touch with these high echelons of the United States. Well, I think one of the answers is going to be in her background, and I'm going to do a little chronology of that because we do know she was in Young Americans for Freedom. She worked for the Ronald Reagan campaign in 1966 when he was running for governor. And then she married Larry in 1975. Now, what was going on in those years in 1966 and 1975? I made a few notes of that because I think it's very important. In 1962, going back that far, Young Americans for Freedom was formed with Ronald Reagan on the board and Robert Morris. I've mentioned those before. And Igor Cassini, the friend of Grace Kelly and her interlocking links, and William Buckley and Douglas Caddy from Watergate. And the John Birch Society was working with Theodore Shackley of the CIA counterintelligence. They were involved with the Bay of Pigs operation, Mr. Wilson and Turple, and E. Howard Hunt, and those people were involved in 1962. In 1962, the Munich fellows came over for Young American Freedom, the Americans from Munich, Germany, and some Germans, maybe Larry Schmidt and Volkmar Schmidt, and Nelson Bunker Hunt, that rich man I mentioned in the first part of the program before we started World Watchers, and General Walker were active. And in 1966, when Catherine McDonald was working for the campaign of Ronald Reagan, she lived in Glendale, California. That's the year that Mr. Ed Clark, who's now National Security Advisor, was getting close to Helene von Thom. They had met via TCI, I'm sure, and Otto von Bolschwing and that work. Network, and Ronald Reagan was campaigning. The Birch Society was behind his campaign. Helene von Thom was working for him. Catherine McDonald was working for him. Helene was with Ed Clark. But after the plane goes down, seems that Mrs. McDonald's pretty close to Ed Clark. The plane went down just in September 30th, August 30th, September 1st. And then just right after that, 8 days later, Turg V. McDonald, the son of Larry McDonald, the stepson of Mrs. McDonald, goes to William Clark of the National Security Council and lays down the terms of what he wants to happen to punish, in quotes, the Soviet Union. It's just half hour. We'll take in the half hour. We'll take a 1 minute break, and we'll get back to Mr. Turgvy McDonald, the heir to all this information.